Man's a bad guy?
Pac-Man is not bad. I created him to bring joy to all the people of the world. They have brainwashed him. Deep down, he's kind, gentle. Someone you can tell your troubles to or grab a hamburger with. You'll see.
Professor Iwatani, get back in the car!
Professor Iwatani, what are you doing?
I will talk to him. He's my son.
No, that's a bad idea.
Hello, my sweet little boy. Look how big you've grown. I'm so proud of you.
That's so sweet. He's so sweet.
But all these destructive things you're doing, it's wrong. I'm your father. I know. You're a good boy.
Somebody kill this Stewie!
Hey everybody, welcome to Pwn Stars. I'm Will.
I'm Josh.
We are missing Ryan today because he's a little bitch.
Yay!
Today we're going to discuss one of our favorite developers, mine and Josh's, not Ryan's. They're not exactly known as being a massively successful business in regards to the United States because their fan base is, it's a pretty niche market.
It definitely is.
But they do cater to their fans far better than most companies. If you ever have an issue that you want to discuss, the PR for whatever team is being done, if it's Team Tails or Team, I can't remember the team for Tekken. Do you remember? Or is it just Team Tekken?
I think it might have just been Team Tekken.
Yeah, whatever they have for their development team, they are actually very good at responding in regards to people, which is not something that you will see from Activision or from, say, even Square Enix. Square Enix is very good in regards to its fans, but it's not very good on the PR front.
When it comes to PR with any video game company, nobody even comes close to Bandai Namco.
So that's who we're going to discuss today. Why, do you ask? I know it's a little random compared to the other things that we've discussed, but recently the founder of Namco has passed away on January 22nd, and we decided to do a small little tribute to him in regards to what we're doing here. Josh, please pronounce his name because I really suck with foreign names.
Masaya Nakamura.
He was one of the key pioneers in regards to bringing Pac-Man to life, hence the soundbite earlier. We understand that that's not who that was in regards to, but that's the best we could actually find.
And it always makes me laugh when I hear that, so we went with it.
So Bandai Namco is actually really huge for me. One of the first video games I can remember playing was Dig Dug at the local skating place. Now, I understand Dig Dug came out in 1982, so that makes me seem like I'm really freaking old. But the place was poor and the games were there for a long freaking time.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, the first game I played was at a Happy Joe's game arcade place, and I'm pretty sure it was Glaxian.
I love that game.
That game was fun.
So, they have actually made a lot of very, very good games over the years, and when we went over the list, there were a lot of games that we didn't even realize that they made.
Like, I was just scrolling through earlier, and I was like, wow, 90% of these I've played and loved.
Pretty much most of my arcade time, after going through this list, I realized was Namco games.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
And this is obviously before the Bandai Namco merger, but, well, they're one and the same at this point. So no matter what, I'm giving credit to the combined company for previous titles.
Oh, same here.
A lot of people, the very first games that they ever played were Pac-Man. And Pac-Man was a huge freaking deal back in the day. I mean, it was basically the most innovative since Pong. So, I mean, it made a huge impact, and it's had millions of different knockoffs made ever since.
Let's see, you've got Pac-Man, Super Pac-Man,
Pac-Land.
Pac-Land, that is one of my favorite games, even though it's garbage.
Pac-Man Party.
Yeah, Pac-Man Party, and then you had Pac-Man World or something like that.
Yep. Ms. Pac-Man, Pac-Man and Friends, that was a junk game. But
so many.
It was back when these were created. This was a lot like jumping into a new Unreal Engine. Namco's engines, in regards to all of their video game systems, all of their arcade cabinets, were originally labeled based off of the Pac-Man game that came out with it. I mean, that happened later. They had changes after that, but it originally started off as basically it was like Namco Pac-Man Engine or Namco Pac-Land Engine. It was whatever one had come out at the time. That was their jump.
Okay.
So, I mean, for them, Pac-Man was life.
Makes sense.
I mean, well, it's basically that's every sale they had.
Yeah. And it was a really good game for the time.
Another system that they ended up using a lot was for, they used the Galaga engine, or they used the Pole Position engine. I mean, these are games that are well known throughout time. Galaga is amazing. Still, to this day, Galaga is still amazing.
They still make games based on Galaga. So, you know they did something right.
So, this is a company that means a lot to me. Because almost every game I purchase, for the most part, lately has been a Bandai Namco game. I mean, I've been playing Tales of Berseria. I love the Dark Souls games, which most people don't even realize that's Bandai Namco. Dragon Ball Xenoverse, I know you've been playing a lot of that.
Yeah, I've been playing the crap out of that.
I love the Naruto games, even though I hate Naruto.
The games are different because it's just fighting and you control it at your own pace.
But I even hate fighting games. So, I mean, the fact that they can make one that I enjoy from two things that I dislike.
You see, that's what I find entertaining. We just had this conversation earlier. You hate fighting games, yet you like the Naruto fighting game, and you like Tekken.
And I liked Xenoverse.
And Xenoverse.
The server issue with Xenoverse is the only reason why I stopped playing. I mean, and couldn't really...
What do they all have in common? They're all made by Bandai Namco.
Which, yet again, it's really freaking weird. The reason why I say Bandai Namco is not a hugely successful company in regards to states is, if it's an anime game, there's a 90% likelihood that it's Bandai Namco.
Yes, it is.
And they do a very good job about keeping them coming out on a somewhat regular basis, keeping to the key characteristics. They're not looking at a cash grab. They're looking to please their fans. And that's saying a lot in regards to game companies lately, because for the most part, a lot of companies, it's just a cash grab. I mean, you have companies like Square Enix who put a lot of time when they take over a franchise that people love. And then you have Activision, which just pumps it out.
Year after year.
Or Capcom, where they drag it through the dirt until it's done.
Oh, yeah. So, I will be the first to admit that.
The biggest thing is, like, Namco wasn't afraid to take some leaps. Like, they had Pac-Man, and they had Dig Dug, and they had Galaga. But then they released Splatterhouse. I mean, this was one of the first ultra-violent video games. And, I mean, this thing put Mortal Kombat to shame when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, there was blood and gore in Mortal Kombat. But Splatterhouse, well, it kind of lived up to the name. And even then, they ended up making a remake of Splatterhouse not too long ago, correct? Like, a few years ago?
I believe so.
It didn't do horribly well because it had been so long since a Splatterhouse title had been released, but it was still a very bloody, gory game. So, I mean, they still took that leap, even though for the most part their games are designed for their niche market. They took a chance, and I think that's where they decided to take over the Souls franchise, because they did succeed with Splatterhouse back when they were doing it. So, when Atlus decided they weren't making any more games after Demon's Souls, Bandai Namco was the perfect company to take it over.
And they've pretty much perfected it since.
Yeah, that is probably the most well-known Bandai Namco title in the States. And that's really sad, because there are so many good games that they make.
Like, with Dark Souls, all it makes you want to do is just punch a window, which is probably why not a lot of people play their other games, because they think it's going to be just like it.
There's a lot of people that played Dark Souls not realizing what it was going to be.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, I mean, I had played Demon's Souls, so you couldn't tell that Bandai Namco did not make Demon's Souls.
No, not at all.
I mean, that's how well they stayed to that franchise. And that's saying a lot, because Atlus always has like a weird setup in regards to how they do anything. I love Atlus games, but they never use the same system for anything, unless it's a specific runoff of a franchise.
The only one with Atlus I can really think of is Persona.
That's about the only successful game they still have.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever get rid of that, which I don't think they should.
Now, they don't specialize in simply just anime games.
Are you sure?
Ace Combat. Ace Combat is Bandai Namco.
That's right.
And I hate flying games. Because, well, you've seen me play Battlefield. What happened the moment I got in the bomber? I hit a tree.
It was hilarious because you were like, hey, spawn on me, be my gunner. Okay.
I didn't say spawn on me, be my gunner. You said, damn it, Will, I just spawned on you as your gunner as soon as I hit the tree. I didn't tell you to, okay, you well, just did.
I heard you say there's people shooting at me, so I was like, okay, I'm going to save the day. Boom. Well, Will killed me.
Despite that, I love the Ace Combat games, and I have no idea why. These games are not made for me, but I just find a lot of enjoyment from them, even though it's a fight simulator where you blow stuff up.
Well, they've started in I don't know how long ago they started adding two different control methods. One of them is arcade, where you don't have the simulation flying and all that, which makes it a lot easier for people who aren't good at it to be able to play it.
Yeah, they didn't have that when I was playing. I can't remember. I want to say something of Liberty, like Fires of Liberty or something like that. That was the last one I played.
That sounds about right.
I guarantee you that picked up on the mic, and I don't really care. I'm just pouring a soda, people. Don't worry. It's 12 o'clock on a Sunday. I'm not pouring a beer.
Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, I got to work tomorrow, so that's not going to exactly cut it. The biggest one, the very first console game, like console specific. I mean, Pac-Man got ported over, Galaga, that all got ported over. But the very first console specific game they ever came out with is one of the most renowned fighting games in the world. Tekken.
Oh my god.
Tekken first released in 1994, and pretty much most... Yeah, it's been that long, Josh.
Wow.
Most of my friends are huge Tekken fans. I mean, we've been having an argument about whether to get Tekken 7 or not because we don't all hang out anymore. It's, you can't. It's not about playing through the story. It's about beating the crap out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And Tekken, yeah, there is story in there. I don't know where. It's been a long time. I think Tekken Tag Tournament was the last one I really sunk a lot of time into.
We both did. We were like 3 trophies away from the platinum.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun with that. Another one, Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur, another one of my favorite fighting games.
I mean, they're both fantastic games, even being fighting games. I mean, like I said, I suck at fighting games. I suck at flying games. I'm really good at the RPGs.
Well,
I'm good at Dark Souls.
Okay. You're good at Bloodborne.
No, I'm good at all but Dark Souls 3. Dark Souls 3, I don't know what the hell happened, but I just sucked at that.
You're good at Bloodborne, and when you're sober with Dark Souls. That's what we'll go with.
You know, looking at this game list, I didn't realize Mr. Driller was done by Namco.
Yep.
Because I thought it was just kind of a Dig Dug ripoff. I didn't realize that the Dig Dug ripoff was made by the people who made Dig Dug. So I kind of feel bad for always making fun of it.
Well, I don't know why they would have done that, honestly. Maybe to make people want to play Dig Dug again? It's the only thing I can think of.
Possibly. They also made one of my favorite arcade games of all time, Time Crisis.
That is a fantastic arcade game.
I remember going to the movie theater and I'm like, oh, my movie's for 2 hours. Awesome, I get to play Time Crisis for 2 hours.
I used to do the exact same thing with my dad. We would go to see a movie, we would show up like 3 hours early, and he'd be like, okay, let's play Time Crisis.
Yeah, I mean, I would sit there and just play that the whole freaking time. And a lot of times I was late to my movie, or we stayed after the movie to play it. I mean, that was the only fun game at the movie theater. I mean, you could try to land the 747. I mean, that was, you know, they had that thing, remember? The little flight simulator, try to land the passenger plane?
See, I always saw that, and then I saw Time Crisis, and I immediately went for Time Crisis.
I only ever played it because Time Crisis was out of order at the time.
Oh.
And just so you know, my history of crashing planes continues.
All those poor simulated deaths.
A lot of people, there are certain things that Bandai Namco did that I despised. Like the Dynasty Warriors Mobile Suit Gundam.
Okay, you sir.
I only ever played the first one. That's where your it was problem. Super clunky.
That is your problem. I was about to call you a massive bitch because Dynasty Warriors Gundam 3 is one of my favorite games.
Yeah, it was. I have been told repeatedly that my issue with that game was it was the fact that I was playing the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was slow, it was clunky, it didn't feel like Dynasty Warriors, it didn't feel like Mobile Suit Gundam. It didn't feel like anything. So I think that was the issue on that one.
It would have been.
I do remember playing Pole Position a lot as a kid.
Oh, same here.
And I hate racing games, but I did enjoy that.
I was never any good at Pole Position.
They were also responsible for a couple Mario Kart ports.
Really?
Yep. Not ones that came over here.
Oh, okay.
They were like the arcade versus console thing that Japan had. It was the fact that Nintendo's like, here you go. Go ahead and try this. So they were at least trusted in regards to that. Did you ever play Cobra?
Tell me more.
No, we'll just skip it. I mean, it was such a random game that I can't really talk about it unless more than one of us played it. So
I might have played it.
Fires of Liberation. That was the Ace Combat I played for the Xbox 360.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I just got down to the Microsoft platform section. Yes, we are actually going through game lists while we're discussing this.
Because they've made so many that I don't remember what ones.
I had no idea that they made so many goddamn games. Yeah. I mean, I knew that I liked Bandai Namco, but that would be the whole Tales series thing. And then I defended them in regards to Dark Souls.
Like,
but I didn't realize, like, they made Katamari.
Yeah.
And as stupid as that game is, it is highly addictive.
It is one of my, I wouldn't say all-time favorite games, but it is a good game in my opinion. Because
it is a good game. I was actually just playing it a couple of weeks ago on PlayStation Now. You didn't know it was on there, did you? Yeah, Beautiful Katamari is on PS Now.
Okay, so we're going to be cutting this short. I've been Josh, and I'm going to go play Katamari.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You're here. You're going to finish the episode. Don't be Ryan. Don't be a little bitch. Hi, Ryan. We love you.
Well,
I doubt he's ever going to actually listen to this. He swears he does, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who actually listens to our own podcast once it's done.
I listen to a couple.
Let's see. Dead to Rights. This was a shocker for me.
I just realized that about 20 minutes ago.
Also on PS Now.
Oh, I know. I got that one. I've been playing it a little bit.
I mean, this is basically Bandai Namco going, we're going to make Max Payne.
And they did a fantastic job of it.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't do horribly good, but that's because, well, like I said, Bandai Namco is not exactly known as a powerhouse here. People aren't going to randomly check out the random games unless they are a fan.
Right. Like, Retribution is one of my favorites because you're able to actually control the dog in portions of the game, and you're able to sneak up on guys and attack them. And what's more amazing than watching a giant dog just bite the crap out of someone's groin? It just makes me laugh.
Eternal Sonata. It was a fantastic RPG, especially if you are a huge fan of music.
Which was Chopin?
Yeah, Chopin.
Yes.
It was based in his Death Dream.
Yep.
And that's a really weird concept to me, combining a love of music into an RPG. I mean, they took a lot of time and preparation in regards to that. They did a very good job of it. Parts of it can be a little slow, but parts of any RPG can be a little slow. But I mean, it was just an interesting concept that you got your own props. That was another one where they're like, fuck it, let's do it.
That was the first game I really played on the 360. And from the second I put it in to the second that my 360 broke, I basically played nothing but that game.
That shocks me.
Why?
That didn't seem like a game that would be up your alley.
Why?
Because you're not really the huge JRPG type, and that's exact. Okay, now, here's a big thing in regards to when I say not a big JRPG type.
Okay.
There are, in my eyes, Western RPGs, RPGs, and JRPGs. Now, when I say RPGs, because there really should only be Western and JRPG.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is the feel of the game itself. You can have, like, Final Fantasy. I don't want to even consider that a JRPG.
I would.
Because it's huge here. But it's not made here. Mm-hmm. Therefore, technically, it's a JRPG. That's what I mean. I mean, I want to count that as a real RPG. A JRPG is a more out there, less well-known, but normally has a big fan base. So, like Eternal Sonata, just the animation style and everything. That's where I'm like, it's not, I didn't think like it was your style.
Man, you crazy.
Me crazy.
You huh? Crazy. I play everything. You know this.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that back then you did.
Oh no, back then I played everything even more because I didn't have internet.
Some of my favorite titles, like I like the collaborations of old games,
mm-hmm.
but nothing beats the Namco Museum titles.
I would agree with that.
I mean, like, I love the Rare Replay. That was really well done. Mm-hmm. But, like, the further you go back, it's just the games are complete crap. With Namco Museum, I think based off of the evolution of the technology itself, it was pretty on par all the way up. I mean, they put the same love and devotion into every single game. And that's saying a lot because there's a lot on here. I mean, there's football games, there's horror games, but for the most part, they specialize in platforms at the time.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of the style. I mean, that's what you could get away with based off of technology. That's not that big of a deal.
No, that was pretty much the best they could do at the time.
One of my favorite games you've probably never heard of, and I played the hell out of it on the NES. Mostly because I didn't have anything else to play at the time. And it was so freaking hard, I just really wanted to beat it. It was called Mappy Land.
I have never heard of it.
It's a cat and mouse platform game. Yeah, you're looking at me funny right now.
I might have heard of it.
You're a mouse basically running around in like a platform level trying to avoid cats and rescue other mice. And the goal is to make it all the way through the map. And it had this weird funky music and like you could release balloons to distract the cats. And
okay, I have played it. My dad rented it from the rental place where I used to live. And I was terrible at it. So I played it for about 5 minutes and never played it again.
I played it all the time because I was horrible at it. Because that was an insanely difficult... Like, that was probably, for the time, close to Dark Souls level. I mean, that was Mega Man difficult.
Don't even get me started on Mega Man.
But the reason why I brought that up is because I just noticed that there's, like, 4 Mappy titles. And I only knew about the one.
I think we're going to have to do some digging here. Go find them.
They are responsible for my favorite game franchise. I understand that Atlus creates your favorite franchise, the Persona series.
Yeah, that is 100% true.
But Namco is the creator of the Tales series, which continued into Bandai Namco. And there was, a lot of people will say that there has been a drop in quality since the merger. And I really don't think that is. I think they're trying to be innovative like they are in every other game, with still trying to keep the core premise of what it is. Mm-hmm. And the last, according to this list, which I don't think that's correct, it says Tales of Vesperia was the last Namco title for the Tales series. But I want to say the merger happened well before that.
It might have been just Namco when they originally released it in Japan.
Possibly, but I swear it was Bandai Namco over here.
I'm 90% certain it is.
And unlike a lot of Tales fans, that is my favorite. A lot of Tales fans say Tales of Symphonia is their favorite.
See, this is where my input doesn't really matter, because I never wanted to play them.
You didn't start until Vesperia.
And you let me borrow Vesperia, and I fell in love.
Yeah, it's certain aspects are always hit or miss as they continue going on. But like I said, that's them trying to take that small leap. They don't want to get rid of the core premise of the game itself, but they want to try to change it up a little. And some of the changes they made were pretty bad. Like Tales of Hearts, you didn't purchase weapons.
Oh, that
one. It was basically you took skill points you earned from battle, plugged them into this grid-like thing like you would for the personalities for Persona. Mm-hmm. Like that same layout. And based off of that, you could unlock weaponry. It was a little weird, and I never quite got the hang of it.
That does sound extremely weird.
But let's see. What do we got?
They made the .hack games.
They did Digital Devil Story Megami Tensei.
That game was shit.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they did it.
I mean, it was awesome because they got Nocturne. No, and they didn't do Nocturne. That was still Atlus. Never mind.
That was still Atlus. Oh, wait, here's another Mappy game I didn't see. Hopping Mappy.
Hopping Mappy.
Yep. So, I mean, they have done an insane amount. And right now, for the most part, what would you say? They specifically specialize in all of the anime games.
Oh, definitely.
Because they did Sword Art. They did
.hack.
They did do the .hack games. All of them.
All of them. They do the Dragon Ball, the Naruto, pretty much all of the
One Piece. What's that one fighting game with all the Funimation characters?
J-Star's Victory.
J-Star's Victory Plus. And as weird as that sounds in regards to a random title name, I really enjoyed that game. I'm really glad I got it on sale one day when it was only $10.
Yeah, no joke.
I ended up getting that from Gamefly. And I'm just like, hey, this game is still $60 like a year later.
For good reason.
Yeah, I mean, well, you gotta figure they have to pay so much in freaking copyright in regards to, what's the word I'm talking about, royalties.
Yes.
For all those characters.
Yeah, they really have to.
Unfortunately, there are some smears in regards to Bandai Namco. They made Star Fox Assault.
What one was that on?
I believe the GameCube?
See,
there were two for the GameCube.
They made Star Fox Adventure, which was like the Banjo-Kazooie platform type
thing. Which one was the bad one? I remember one of the two was good.
I'm pretty sure Assault, everybody said, was bad.
Okay.
But I have a lot of good memories with that game. I absolutely loved it.
I remember playing Star Fox Adventures at like Toys R Us when it was on a GameCube display, but I never ended up picking it up. Then again, I didn't buy a GameCube until I was 22.
I don't even remember when I got mine.
I ended up buying it off eBay specifically for Tales of Symphonia.
I would believe that.
As sad as that sounds, I specifically bought a console for that game.
They just released a game maybe a couple weeks ago that I really want to try.
What's that?
Digimon World.
I forgot they did the Digimon games too.
Yep.
The last Digimon game, Cyber Sleuth, was
it? Yep, Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth.
I didn't think I was going to enjoy it near as much as I did. I mean, it was a fantastic game. I mean, they did a phenomenal job of putting to the fan base itself for Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been so long since a Digimon title came out.
Okay, let's rephrase that. Since a good Digimon title came out.
Okay, I'll give it that one.
Like, the last good one since Cyber Sleuth was Digimon World, in my opinion.
For
PS1.
Yeah, see, there's a problem right there. A lot of Digimon games ended up being handhelds, and
yeah,
handhelds don't really hold up.
Unfortunately.
I can only think of a few handheld games that have continued to be prosperous. Pokemon, Fire Emblem.
Oh, Fire Emblem. They just released a new mobile game. Good stuff.
Didn't realize that they... I can't believe we're still in just the Namco list. God, they made so many freaking games. Ridge Racer.
Oh, they did make Ridge Racer.
All of them.
Yeah.
There's like 15 on this list. I mean, that's saying a lot. When you can make 15 in one game and it's still kind of going. I mean, it's not now, but...
I thought they just released one not too long ago.
Yeah, it's probably digital only.
I think so.
Here's a series I had no idea they made. Xenosaga. You don't remember Xenosaga?
Was that the one with the android Cosmos or whatever?
Yes.
Yep, I remember that.
Okay. Now, the reason why I say I don't remember that is if you play that game, you can't tell it's been a Namco. Nope. It looks like a Square Enix game.
It looked just like Square Enix. I will give you that.
And those were also phenomenal games. Inspector Gadget, shame on you. Shame.
I might have played it, but I hope I didn't.
It was pretty bad. So, I mean, that's literally just Namco. I mean, we haven't even touched the Bandai Namco games. And I think that's a good sign. What was the guy's name?
Oh, well, you would ask me. Masaya Nakamura?
Yeah, he did a very good job of keeping that company going. I mean, I saw a lot of games on the list that I never heard of, but most of them were, I mean, that list was not just for over here. I mean, we don't get every single game that gets released.
I wish we did.
And Bandai Namco is huge, huge in Japan. They are considered one of the powerhouse publishers there. I mean, they have their own freaking stores.
Yeah.
They literally have swag stores that they can't keep stuff in. I really wish we had one here.
So do I. Like 100%.
So, a lot of the things, like you brought up .hack. I mean, that was Namco until GU.
Yeah.
GU, it was after the merger. Because the merger was, what, 2006?
Six.
I mean, this company, they put a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort into all of these games. That's something you don't really see in regards to Western-based publishers. A lot of it is most of their money goes to marketing. I mean, I hate to bring them up, but they are the kings of wasting money on marketing.
Yes, they are.
Call of Duty. And this is not me bad-mouthing Call of Duty. I know we do that a lot, but they put far too much money in regards to marketing, in regards to the quality of the game. And I really think the quality suffers because of it.
The quality has been going downhill rapidly with each game that gets released.
Now, mind you, I'm not saying the Bandai Namco does not do a lot of marketing. We don't see a lot of marketing here.
No. Not here at all.
There was a game that released in Japan only that they had 100 different commercials for.
What the fuck?
I can't find the name of the game. I saw it earlier. There was 100 chapters to the game. So they decided, okay, that's our advertisement for it, so we're making 100 different commercials for it. Most people never saw the same commercial more than once.
That makes my head hurt.
But that's Japan. I mean, there's video game commercials everywhere.
That's true. That is very true.
I mean, anytime you play a game where you're walking around actually in Japan, you see the advertisements everywhere. And from what I've heard from a couple of my friends that have been over there, and I got one person who actually ended up immigrating there a long time ago, that's true. I mean, you see anime and video game advertisements pretty much everywhere you walk. It's a different culture. And I think that's why they succeed over there, because this is their specialty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either they specialize in anime games or they specialize in very, very, very heavy story games. And we don't have the good enough attention span here for those types of games.
Me especially, unless it, you know, catches me immediately.
Like, you've been having to stop playing Tales of Berseria over and over again because it is so story heavy. And even I've said, I love a huge complex story. But come on! I mean, there's just so much in there.
The combat in the game is so fun, I just want to get back to more fighting. But when I'm there in a cutscene, and then I leave the cutscene, there's a skit, and then I walk 2 feet, there's another skit, and then there's another skit, and then there's another skit.
And they're all relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually a title for viewing so many skits on Eleanor, and I've probably watched, I think, 250 at this point. And I think I've only maybe watched 10, maybe 15 that weren't story relevant, like Aizen and Rokuro arguing about who's a better fisherman and actually having a fishing contest. Stuff like that's not relevant.
I wish it was. You probably wish it was, too, so you could do your favorite pastime.
Yeah. Well, right after that, I found a fishing minigame. So it's not like Final Fantasy 15 fishing. It's just kind of just choose your bait and it pulls up a fish.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, there's no real time involved. You can literally sit there and hit X until you're out of bait. Which was a little disappointing on my end, because with so much story involved, and this is how they do almost every game, that I kind of wanted a small break. And Bandai Namco loves putting in mini games.
I've noticed that.
Which is perfectly fine, because it's a nice little break from having to do whatever you're doing. I mean, Berseria has more mini games than I've seen in regards to any other Tales game, but it's not just that. It's almost every title has something.
Right.
I mean, you've been playing Xenoverse too. Are there some mini games in there?
Small stuff. I mean, they have events that happen every now and then, but as for mini games, not really.
Well, but then again, it's a fighting game.
Exactly.
So it's kind of hard to do stuff like that. It's not like Street Fighter or Beat Up the Car.
God, I wish.
Or Test Your Might on Mortal Kombat. which I don't even know if that's still in there because I quit playing it. I always kind of liked it when they triggered, but eventually it just got old. And I had X buttons that quit working because just having to smash them too much.
Yeah, I had that same problem with all of the Mortal Kombat games, which is why I don't play them anymore.
And if you want a good example of how Namco plays to specific fans, you noticed it earlier. What is coming out that you were like, what the hell? Why are they making this?
I don't even remember now.
A new Tamagotchi.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a little out there, but they're willing to do that. I mean, they obviously have the money for it, and it may never come here, even though a lot of people are like, who remembers Tamagotchis?
And everyone's just like me sitting there, what the fuck are you talking about? Even though I had like 12.
Even though you had like 12.
They were bought for me as gifts, and I never used them.
They all died.
I used my Digimon Digivice a lot more.
What was that TV show where the dude had the Tamagotchi? It's one of your shows that you made me watch. This Video Game High.
Oh, yeah. Video Game High School. I was like, I'm confused.
Yeah, the dude had the Tamagotchi that he kept alive for like 15 years.
Yep.
So you can't say that Tamagotchis are not relevant in regards to a geek life.
Oh, no, they definitely are.
But the fact that Bandai Namco's like, we're going to keep this going.
All right, fuck it, let's bring them back.
Like I said, it might not ever make it here.
I wouldn't doubt it if they would.
There's actually a Tamagotchi that came out in 2006 that we never got here. So that's the only reason I brought it up, because I was just scrolling through.
Okay.
So a lot, the big issues I have in regards to Bandai Namco is, yes, they have that niche market. They sometimes do stuff they should never do. Like, I bought the Inuyasha game.
Oh, that game was terrible.
It was like it was in the $5 bin at Walmart, so I'm just like, whatever, I'll give it a shot. But it was absolutely horrible, and that was Bandai Namco.
Was it PS1?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, so that would be Namco, not Bandai Namco.
Yeah, like that was a horrible, horrible fighting game.
But going through this list is a lot of successful games. I mean, you have the Tales series. The Naruto games always do good, which is weird, because I don't understand people's obsession with Naruto.
I can't get into it. I've tried multiple times.
It's DBZ ninjas.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's a little better than DBZ. I know I'm about to step on some people's feet here. The reason I say it's a little better than DBZ is the fights don't go on for multiple episodes. Like, they'll start at the end of an episode, finish it in the next episode, not I'm gonna power up for 7 episodes.
I have seen a couple episodes with one of my friends, and the longest I've seen one fight last is like maybe 2.5 episodes. But that was a big story arc, so it makes sense for that to last
Naruto versus Sasuke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole series is like a build up to that.
Yeah. So,
but it's the fact that stuff's actually happening. In DBZ, it was a lot of banter back and forth.
And a lot of screaming.
Yeah.
A lot of
like
flowing gold hair.
This first spirit bomb against Frieza. How many episodes did it take of just basically Goku standing there and screaming? I mean, small stuff was happening in the background, but it was like, what, 2 minutes till the planet was going to be destroyed, and it lasted like 8 episodes? 8 half-hour episodes?
Well, have you ever seen the one with Majin Buu where he was trying to go Super Saiyan 3?
Oh, no, I quit watching by that point. The spirit bomb did me in.
Well, the thing with Majin Buu is he likes to fight powerful opponents, so Goku was there talking this big game, screaming for almost an entire episode trying to go Super Saiyan 3. He finally does, and then he doesn't fight for another 2 episodes.
Yep.
Like, are you serious?
Yeah, that is my issue in regards to Dragon Ball. So, anyways, I understand that we just stepped on Andy, Bill, and Josh's toes in regards to
bringing suck it, nerds.
But that's payback for stealing our sexiest character bit. I'm going to hear about that when Bill finally listens to the episode.
Good.
But
good.
If you enjoy anime, check out Tuning Japanese over on the Quest End Network. So, but the games do exceptionally good. Xenoverse, I was a little shocked. I went to GameStop to pick up something. I don't go to GameStop very often anymore. Even though half the time I mention on here that I went to GameStop. But it's like, walk in, know exactly what I want, grab it, and leave.
Yeah.
But they actually tried to get me to pre-order Xenoverse. Like, of all the things coming out, you try to pitch me Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse 2.
I remember this.
That's actually when I went in to buy Dead Rising.
Yep.
I'm buying a zombie game. Why are you trying to get me to pre-order Dragon Ball? And it was somebody who actually knew me.
That's the worst part.
And I'm just like, Mike, first off, you know I don't play these things. I'm like, they had no idea that I had bought Xenoverse.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't bought a Naruto game since Ultimate Ninja Storm 2.
Well, didn't you just buy 4?
I bought digital.
Yeah, I was going to
say. So GameStop didn't know. You just bought it. They're not friends with me on PSN.
You didn't even know because it won't tell them you bought it.
Yeah, but if they're friends, they could see I was playing it.
Well, that doesn't mean you bought it.
But it was the fact that that was the title that they pushed.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So that's a sign that it was, in fact, doing well. Because GameStop's not going to try to push you a game that's not doing well.
Well, you say that.
I didn't say they're not going to push you a game that's bad, because okay. The people, Kingdoms of Amalur.
The people we know around here that still work at GameStop won't push a bad game.
But it's the fact that it got pushed nonetheless.
Right.
And I mean, there were far better titles coming out that I guarantee you were probably higher up or desire from people. But the fact that it was selling well enough, I guarantee you a memo went out saying push this game, because it's already doing great. You remember seeing those memos?
Mm-hmm.
Like, push this game, our sales numbers are already above so many. And that was the pre-order heavy store.
Yeah.
Which they still haven't registered as no longer a pre-order heavy store ever since Scott left.
Ever since everybody left.
Honestly, you're going to push Xenoverse with Tekken having just officially had a release date?
Yeah.
I mean, where's the problem here?
Tekken is more well-known.
Tekken is far more well-known.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem I see with what he did.
And there are people who are going nuts about this new Tekken game.
Dude, it looks amazing.
It does look amazing, but I can't justify buying it. I can't justify buying fighting games.
Not for full price.
No, no.
And I'm the same way.
This isn't us bashing fighting games. If you love fighting games, like, we knew a guy that pre-ordered literally every single fighting game that ever came in. And he could stand there and talk to you for 45 minutes about his Street Fighter controller. Stuff like that was kind of annoying, but he was a pretty cool guy.
He was very awkward.
Yes.
Especially when he started talking about Dead or Alive.
Yeah. Anybody talking about Dead or Alive, it can end up being awkward. But it's the fact that fighting games are great for its player base.
Yes.
I need something a little bit more than, like, a minute and a half of action at a time. And that's just my preference.
No, I agree with you 100% on that.
I love RPGs. I like first-person shooters. I'm not good at them, but I like them. There's some I'm good at. If there's a medic, I'm good at it.
If you're able to keep me alive, he's good.
But the fact that they've got... that Tekken is still a massively successful franchise.
And they're going on... what one's coming out? Seven. Okay. Not to mention all the spin-offs. Tekken Tag...
Tekken Tag 2.
Tag 2. Would you count Death by Degrees, a Tekken game?
Yeah.
That was, in my opinion, the best one then.
And right now, we're going to bring up the biggest reason why I say that this is an anime-based video game company. Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch.
That is right. I even said that earlier. How I have the worst memory known to man.
That's because you got all excited that they were coming out with a second one. Oh, by the way, they're coming out with a second one for anybody who enjoyed the first one.
What?
Ni No Kuni. Anybody who likes anime knows who... God, I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Studio...
You got this.
Ghibli?
Yeah.
Yay! I pronounced that correctly. Apparently.
Well, I mean, people say Ghibli, people say Ghibli. I pretty much say it's like a tomato-tomato thing. Like, if... as long as you get one of those.
I've said Ghibli for years, and I've been corrected on the other way, so I'm not even certain anymore. That's why I'm just like, I'm going to mispronounce this.
See, that's when it comes to that studio specifically, I'm like, if you get one of those two, you're fine.
But the thing is that they got them to... they convinced them, you have to make a video game. Oh, we are perfectly willing to work with you over this. And it was massively successful for what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, its sales numbers were phenomenal for a no history RPG coming out.
It did fantastic.
And I enjoyed it. I never beat it. I'm not going to lie on that.
I didn't either. I borrowed it from you, and I put maybe 20 hours into it. Probably didn't even progress 20% of the way through the game.
Yeah, I have no idea where the hell I was at. But I don't even know where the game is. I still have the steel case. Steel case is really cool.
The steel case did look amazing.
But, and then you've got Dark Souls,
which is... two completely opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah. I mean, you've got this cute little RPG with, like, life or death elements. I mean, that game was a lot darker than the animation we got to be.
Yeah.
But that's the studio. I mean, everything is always kind of a twist. I want to say, I know Bill at Tuning Japanese is going to hate me for saying this, but they're kind of like the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong of anime.
No, I would agree with that.
The reason I say that is because he hates that guy.
That's hilarious. But yeah, I mean, like, you've got Ni No Kuni, and then you've got Dark Souls. In Ni No Kuni, your doll comes to life and basically becomes your best friend. In Dark Souls, a doll comes to life and rips your head off.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Like, I mean, they got some of the same elements.
It might not rip your head off. It might bite your head off.
Bite, rip, slash, gut, tear, disembowel, impale. Take your pick. It's all going to happen.
And just the degree of difficulty change between the two. I mean, I find it hilarious that... so PC players complained about Dark Souls, that there was no way it's as hard as it sounds. PC Master Race is better than console gamers, all that jazz. So what was their response to it? They released it with the Prepare to Die edition.
It immediately comes to when you start a new game. Well, didn't it start on the highest difficulty?
No. You had the option to turn it on, just like the consoles got the Prepare to Die update for free.
Yes, okay. Like, oh man, that made me laugh so much.
Yeah, they regretted saying that.
I would have.
And it's just, you have a massive difficulty, which means they are playing not just to their player base. Because, I mean, you can see a lot of, like, kiddie-like games, like Power Rangers Samurai is the one I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
And then you have their games that they refuse to let go beyond T for Teen. And then you have Dark Souls. I mean, they do have a wide range. And I have to give them props for that, because they can literally hit every market. There's a lot of companies that cannot hit every single age group.
No, not even slightly.
Really?
I mean, like, they had to edit a section of Tales.
Yep.
Just a small little cutscene. Because the states, ESRB and Peggy, both wanted to boost its rating. And they're like, no, we're not doing that. This is our player base. Whether we have the adults that are playing the same franchise because they love the franchise, this is who we are. I mean, I gave my kid some of my Tales games to try. That's something we can actually talk about going on. I can't give her, like, Far Cry.
No.
If I gave her Far Cry, I'm sorry, I'm a horrible parent.
Well,
like, here you go. I know you're about to turn 13, so I'm going to give you Grand Theft Auto.
Those were some great times.
Yeah.
Telling people, no, I'm not going to sell this to you for your 7-year-old kid. And here's why.
Can you think of any other games to discuss?
I mean, they've made a literal shit ton.
Yeah. Like, they ended up making a Monster Hunter kind of rip-off thing that I really like.
Yeah.
God Eater.
Yeah, God Eater is...
And it's phenomenal.
When it comes to games like that, I always would say, like, I would refer to it as Monster Hunter. That's what I want to play. Now, after having played God Eater, the first one, I would rather play God Eater.
Yeah, I played Rage Burst, and I'm like, oh my god, this is a super violent, bloody version of Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's a jump button.
And that wasn't even I'm a huge fan of Bandai Namco, because I didn't even think about the fact that that was them. It was just, I'll try this from Gamefly. Because on Gamefly, it doesn't say who the developer was.
No, not even kind of.
So, at least not on the mobile app.
Every game I'm looking at through here that Bandai Namco has made, with the exceptional dual pen sports and random stuff like that that I've never heard of, I'm just like, you know, 90% of these are some of my favorite games.
For those of you who love fighting games that have ever had the argument, and I've had this argument a few times, like I said, I'm not a big fighting game guy, but normally if I bring up Tekken, somebody will bring up Street Fighter. Bandai Namco is releasing a Tekken versus Street Fighter. There is no release date yet.
Well, Capcom's released the Street Fighter Cross Tekken. That's what it's called. I had to think. So they're pretty much just flip-flopping there.
Yeah.
There's also the Project Cross Zone.
Which, God, I wish I had played that.
Like, it's a tactics layout, but when it comes to the actual combat, it's basically an RPG.
So a little bit like Dissidia?
Kind of.
Just a little.
Yeah. So it is a lot like Dissidia, but when it actually comes to combat, it turns into what looks like a scene from like Tekken or Street Fighter or something like that. You have certain combos to press, but the amount of characters they have in there from the Bandai Namco, from Capcom, you name it. It's just a vast array of all of their most popular and the ones you've never heard of. It's just amazing.
I like the fact that I scrolled through on the Wikipedia page and it says, see also, list of Namco games, list of Bandai games, list of Tales Media. So I like that as a Tales fan.
Oh, yeah.
But just, I don't care what anybody says about them not being a well-known publisher here. I'm sorry. They're phenomenal. When Dark Souls 3 came out, I don't remember what was coming out at the same time, but this guy just started blasting both of the games that were coming out, saying, why would I order either of these EA pieces of garbage? And even my wife went, Dark Souls is Bandai Namco, dumbass. They don't have that hatred towards them that a lot of publishers have.
It really
doesn't. Like, EA has a massive hatred against it. Square Enix is starting to, and I don't understand why, because they're not really doing anything a whole lot different than what they have before. Like, a lot of people are bashing Square Enix because of their mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why don't you just start releasing good games? Dude, they just released the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition like a week ago.
Which?
It's like, they released, and it was a phenomenal game. It was a nice dark twist on the Tomb Raider franchise.
I was not expecting it to be that dark.
The end sucked, but other than that.
Well, I mean, they had to build up for another game, which was unfortunate.
But Activision. Activision catches a lot of heat. Capcom. Capcom catches a lot of heat because they don't like to change anything.
They really don't.
I mean, it all started for them with Dragon's Dogma and advertising the multiplayer a month before release, get rid of the multiplayer.
And then, yeah, they took it out.
And their reasoning was that nobody's ever done it before, so they didn't want to. That was an official statement from them on their main page.
I would believe that 100%.
Because they didn't have the balls to do it. Bandai Namco doesn't have any heat towards it. And I don't think, honestly, they ever have that I can think of.
I don't think they have either.
I mean, some people probably got pissed off about Ms. Pac-Man back in the day, but why?
Because they weren't good at it.
It's not a hatred of the company. It's a hatred of change.
Yep. That's what I would say.
And I don't get that. Games need to evolve. And us as gamers have to evolve with them.
Yeah.
And that's why Bandai Namco has been one of my favorite publishers. Like I said, a lot of these games I didn't realize were them. I'm just like, oh my god, that game was awesome.
Bandai Namco has such a diverse game listing when you're looking at things they've made or things they're going to make. And then when you go over to like Activision or EA or Capcom, it's just like shooter, shooter, shooter.
I could have swore Tekken was not them, though.
It is.
I don't know why. I thought they were Capcom for the longest time.
No, that's Street Fighter.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, when I think of repetitive games, I think of Capcom.
That is very true. I will give you that. You just got a good internal chuckle out of me.
Yeah, it's Bandai Namco is not the greatest company in the world, but I do think that the head of Bandai Namco, the heads of Bandai Namco, I'm not just giving it to the founder of Namco, have done a phenomenal job.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, we're going to have to go for like 5 more minutes.
Okay. Well, and just to like go back to the whole PR thing, like on Facebook, when Tales of Berseria was first coming out and they had to cut something out of it, everyone was ripping them a new one. You told me this story because you're the one that caused it. You left a comment on there.
Oh, yeah. How I said, thanks for staying true, and this is what I like, is because even the bad comments, they responded to.
Yep.
It wasn't like, a lot of the times, if a company's catching flack about something that they did, that they just won't respond to that. They'll only respond to the positive things.
Like, we'll go ahead and jump to a sidebar there, like, look at No Man's Sky.
This game is awful. You won't hear anything, despite the fact there's like 12,000 comments to say so. But one guy says, this game's pretty fun, and they'll get praised by the PR team.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's... And they weren't even getting blasted in regards to that. They were being thanked that thank you for being upfront and honest, because it wasn't like a press release that had originally started. It wasn't like Bandai Namco gives in to pressure. It was, here's why we did it. We want you to know. And they literally just took out that one thing. And I mean, it's a pretty brutal scene with or without the blood, but it was the blood that they were like, no, you can't have blood of a child. Okay, we're still going to impale him.
No, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, which I didn't get. I mean, that scene alone, for the most part, would normally be rated M.
Mm-hmm.
So you know which part I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was with early Luffy in the game, yeah.
Yeah, and they were very apologetic about it, that they had to do this, that it's beyond their control. And they said that they're trying to keep it as close as possible, and that was literally the only change in the game, was that the blood was removed from that scene. And everybody's like, okay, thanks for letting us know. And they responded to pretty much everything. They did get blasted by one person in regards to having given in to pressure, and their response was very classy. They explained exactly why they did it. They're like, this series has always been rated for, in America, T14, and we want to keep that so we can keep the same quality for differing generations. And I thought that was really cool, that they're just like, they didn't just gloss over it, they actually responded to it. So
that is just phenomenal of any PR team. Like, if every single PR team or head of a company would take the time to actually answer the people, they'd be a lot better place.
Even Tekken, like, they're being blasted. I mean, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I can't wait, and they'll respond to them. But I've seen people be like, why are you releasing this garbage? And they'll put things like, we apologize that you are not a fan of this franchise. And just every single one of them, it's not a copy and paste deal, which it is a big thing, because it's always like, thank you for your support. Mm-hmm. And that's what you get from most companies if you even do get a response. But they'll actually take their time to explain why they're doing things. If you don't like something, they apologize for it. I mean, their PR people have to be very calm, because I've seen, I think No Man's Sky, I saw them go off.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they always have a bit of grace in regards to everything they do. And when you look at over the years, I have a feeling that that was a continued trend throughout the company. It was kind of like a prerequisite. Or otherwise, it's just you're a programmer getting angry at code, so.
Like, I've had one interaction with any PR through a game ever, and it was a Capcom game, a game that I thought looked amazing. I was so looking forward to it. Remember Me.
I remember that game.
I mean, it looked phenomenal, but the way they had it set up to do your attacking combos was terrible, because you had to...
Then you have to, like, set them up.
Yep.
And, like, purchase unlocks or something like that.
But I sent them a message saying that it looks amazing, I can't wait to actually play it, I'm looking forward to it more than any game that was coming out at the time, and it honestly, it seems like a copy and paste. It says, "Hi, Josh. Please, you like what you're seeing. Thanks for spreading the word around. We won't forget you."
That sounds exactly like
that. Sounds like a copy and paste. That's the only interaction I have had with a PR through any manufacturer of game or anything. And since that one interaction I had seemed way too generic, I was like, well, it's not even worth it anymore.
Yeah. I was really shocked when I got a response from the Tales team about that. And a lot of that is, I got giddy because it's my favorite franchise. That would be like if I commented on Mass Effect and BioWare responded to me with a personal message.
They're like, "Will Johnson,
you are awesome. Next beer is hang on us.
I got this. Will, you are decent." I was thinking of something that they would say, but they wouldn't use profanity, so...
"You are a fucking rock god." It's like, they're not going to say something like that.
I'm going to make a fake BioWare account, have everybody like it. I'll have you say something, and then I'm going to make sure that happens. So, just be on the lookout. I'm going to throw you for a loop.
But yeah, I haven't responded to anything from BioWare in a long time, so I don't know exactly how their PR team does. But I have seen a lot of companies not really do anything. It's just always cut and paste.
Yeah.
So the fact that they actually have a personal touch to it, and when you play the games, you feel like that's there. So Bandai Namco, thank you for putting time into your games. I understand that, yes, you release games quickly, like Sword Art, because there's even another one coming out.
Yes.
But it's you do that for the fans. You're not doing it for a cash grab, because you know you're not going to make a whole heck of a lot of money off of it.
Not over here, at least.
So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a good publisher.
Possibly the best. Personally, they're the best for me.
They are not the best game company to me, but I would say that they're pretty up there in regards to the best publisher.
I'll allow it.
Because best company to me would be BioWare. Because they put an insane amount of time and money into something
before they release it. That's true. That is very true.
If they can keep EA out of their pocket, they'll be fine. So thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for the diverse games that you have. You don't just make the same thing over and over and over.
So you got anything else to add, Josh?
That's about it.
So Josh, do you have anything you want to talk about? Gaming news, game you're playing, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
since we already talked about two games we're playing.
I've been playing Tales of Berseria, Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
Josh has been playing Bandai Namco games.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I've been off and on when I'm having trouble sleeping playing Ryan's all-time favorite game. I'm not going to say it, but you should know what it is.
I have a guess. Does it involve getting drunk and beating up dragons?
Yes, it does.
That's the only reference we're making.
Yep.
We will not say its name.
I wasn't going to because of him, but I've been playing that when I can't sleep because it gets so boring I immediately fall asleep.
And that's nothing against that game.
I've played it. It's so much now.
Yep, we've already played through it before. So nothing else?
Nope, nothing else for me.
I tried I Am Bread. God, I suck at that game.
We're going to have to co-op it.
That's going to be
hilarious.
It's going to be Octodad all over again.
Yeah, which was also hilarious.
I picked up Goat Simulator. I haven't checked it out yet, though. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I got it because it was dirt cheap.
It was fun for about 10-20 minutes, and then I just got bored with Goat Simulator.
Yeah, it's... flash sales are killing my wallet.
They usually do.
But luckily, my wife's like, "You have $20. Sweet! 6 games later, because massive flash sale. Oh, another reason that we decided to do this is because Bandai Namco is actually currently having a flash sale. Up to 80% off most of its anime titles. Week 2 starts the day this episode drops. I don't know what's in week 2, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. Like, right now you can get Xenoverse for $43, considering it just came out.
It's not a terrible price. You can get
first Xenoverse, I think, for like $12.
That's a fantastic price.
The Sword Art games are on sale, and I believe it's all 3 of them. And if you remember back to our review, how much we said they're worth, I'm pretty sure combined, they're below the value that we had discussed for them. And a One Piece game that I don't really give a crap about, because I know nothing about One Piece.
Right.
I know something about fruit and stretchy limbs.
Yeah, I don't even. I watched like the first 4 episodes, and it was so long ago and so stupid that I just can't remember.
The only thing I remember about it was the main character is basically a young pirate, Dalsim, and you said something about fruit when we were playing J-Stars. So
I remember his name. It's Monkey D. Luffy.
Monkey D. Luffy.
That's it.
So when this airs, Week 2 will be going on, so I apologize if you missed out on any of the sales that we literally just mentioned.
Well, I don't. They could pay attention.
So, I guess that's it for us today.
Yeah, sounds good.
Later, guys.
Later.
Ryan's a bitch.
That's true.